Accession number 20587, Reel 1.
Right. So can you give me your full name and your date of birth?
Thomas Edward O'Brien, 24th of September, 1914.
And do you remember your army number?
Yes. 1464-2571.
So where were you born?
Sketty, Swansea. Yeah. Not far up the road, yeah.
Uh-huh. And what did your parents do?
My father was well, in the 30s, that's a job to know what he done, really, because at times it's bad. But that main job at the beginning of that, he was worked in the fuel works. Because they only used to work in those days when a ship came in for a load or something like that. But he was like a fitter, he was, because he worked with the gas company and everything before, different times, like, you know. But there were periods in the 30s, of course, when... You were lucky to have a fortnight digging the road, like, and the means test and all that. That's where we were used to that then.
Did you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes, 13 of us in the family. Yeah.
Where did you come?
Was that, yeah?
Where did you come?
Oh, you have to count them down.
You were in the middle, were you?
Not really. Well, it wasn't far up, I suppose. I had, let me see, my brothers above me. Well, Sid went to Australia. Willie, Sid, Bryn, he died. David, Joey, Winnie, I was about in between somewhere about the six.
So where did you go to school?
I went to school at St. Paul's Church School, Sketty, called it the old school. Funny enough, it's a housing complex now, like this place or something, you know, but it belonged to the church. It's a parish school. We had to leave there when we were nine, between 8 and 9, and go to another school. I went to Bryn Mill then, about a mile and a half away. I used to walk down every day, like, and back, everything. No big deal.
And when did you leave school?
When I was 14.
What did you do then?
Well, I had about two jobs before that, from the Adam Boys. He working in there, you know, just for 1 or 6 a week or something. Going down the border out all day Saturday, like, with a sack over his shoulders or something like that, getting soaked wet. Didn't have a overcoat, a decent pair of boots, but you all supplement. If you could give your mother a shilling, like, you know, well, he was part of the, and might have kept that sixpence for yourself, you know. But this sort of thing, you didn't look upon it as anything special because we were brought up there. We had two allotments and all the rest of it, my father, you know.
So did you, what was your first proper full-time job?
Oh, as I first started off, turning a hand for a petrol pump, couldn't resist it all hand work. And one of the customers there, Mr. Andrews, he was a coal exporter, but they decided to start a transport business up. So they purchased, like, was away, and they purchased these big Leyland lorries, 10 tons, and they were huge in those days ago. And they used to come to the pump because at that time he never had a depot where they had their own pumps, so I had the job of turning 55 gallons and then turning the lorry around and another 55 gallons because they used to take 100 gallons or something back and forth to London. And the chauffeur, the chauffeur's brother was one of my mates from school. So, of course, he had a job for them first, didn't he? And then they asked me if I wanted a job at about 16 or 17. With that job included, like, you know, more or less learning your trade at the... But you were loading, you were greasing, you'd wash, you'd do all sorts of things. Like, you had to make yourself useful and mine if it was. Yeah. But they were good.
So you stayed in that job till you joined the army, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And when did you join then, up? Do you remember the date?
Yes. I joined in July 43, it was.
So
I was in the Home Guard before that, and by watching all them sort of things, of course, with it all part of your life. Yeah.
In Swansea.
Yes, I've been in a few blitzes. Yeah.
So you knew you were going to be called up?
Oh, yes. I was reserved for a bit because I was a tradesman then. And I could have, and, you know, I just didn't have a choice. I could have gone, they wanted me to go to the Navy because at the beginning of the war, there was two trawlers down there taken over by this, I suppose, supplementary reserve or something, or Royal Naval Reserve. And They might have sent me to show the crew or the officer taking over for servicing diesel engines. So there wasn't many in Swansea ever. So I went down and with another chap, we had a little thing. It was about 20 at the time, I think. When the war started, it was 25, that's right down. And we were instructing him how to service the Puricates, and they offered me to do. Did they want to join? I didn't like the sea, to tell you the truth. I'd be sick going across the water, but yeah, wasn't much good.
So, and what were your feelings when your call up papers came?
Well, in a way, a bit of a relief, to tell you the truth, you know, because my brothers and Verica were all in it, and everybody, all your mates was going. I mean, in our street where I was born, we were about 15 or 12 boys, they're all mates together, like, you know, and some go and some die. But when you played football with them, you played cricket, you know, the games you brought up with. And you fell out of it a bit. I was always in the home guard, man. I used to do all my little duties and that, but it wasn't the same. No, when I was called up, I called up. The boss wanted to try and keep me, but they said, no way. That you know, they told me down there, he said, well, it tries to keep holding you, but we can't at the time because I didn't want to anyway. I didn't. This what you haven't got a lot to say in these sort of things, you know, as you know that. You go for a board, they don't. It's between them and the boss, it's like everything else. And if they sent you a letter, you go. I had my medical early on, like, you know, and I dressed in the 25 group. Would expect to be away then in a few weeks or something like everybody else. Some of us were stuck.
So what did you do in the Home Guard? Tell me about that.
Oh, I was in the first aid. I was belonged to the ambulance section, to tell the truth. It has changed.
You joined that when war broke out, did you?
No, we're just after, like, you know, 12th of Morgan.
How much time did you spend doing Home Guard duties?
Oh, it's sometimes twice a week in the evening, or if it was available, but I used to be working all the hours in those days. But and sometimes you had to do a weekend, Saturday night, you know, and a bit of an exercise or something, say in Pencloud down the marshes or something. Or we were stationed at one time in the steelworks in Swansea, like amongst the clinkers and the old buildings in there. A lot of ruins about then at that time. Old works and that, you know. And they were the places you used to train, carrying people from, you know, the walls and different things like that. But of course, you had a lot of practice about things like that because we had the Blitz, didn't we? You know, we were.
You were here when.
Oh, yes, at that time, yes. Cause I mean, it was wide open, didn't it? I should have gone on my way that time because we lived over in. We had a bungalow then. Council bungalow, like, because we lived in rooms when the war started, and our first baby was born, we lived in rooms. And we lived over in Pentagethin Road, that's in the Cumberland area, like of Swansea, and of course I wasn't working far from there, but in those days they've got a big estate there now. It was fields, right, and you had occasional row houses and things there, but fields with banks, you could run along and all the rest of it, you know, because most places would be bogged or something. But the first nights of the Blitz I remember very well because I was working, because I used to work on duty all the time in those days. You start work and you had no proper finishing time, not, you know, there was 12 hours was nothing because it was an average time to work. And about 7 to 8 o'clock, I think it was, February 41, when we had bombs before that, the odd ones, like, you know, and you started to get used to them. And then I started, I thought, oh, well, because I got a wife and a child in, at the top. I could cut across the fields and get home. Like, so of course, when I was going across the fields, these planes were from this big hill here. Oh, sorry. Can you see a hill outside?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So that was pretty like, you know, the incendiary bomb shows up like gravestones when they were all lit up, like, you know, under the map. So these bombs. Sentry bombs are dropping everywhere, really, and you think they were trying for you personally, like, especially if you're on your own right across the field. So I got up to where I live, not too far, at the bungalow. There was a few lying about, a few little fire bombs. Nobody in the house, of course. the wife, but and I think a father, I didn't know at the time, but a father and all, they lived down the, well, about a half a mile down the bottom of the road in a little row of houses, Collier's family, you know, and they must have taken a baby down there underneath the pub or something. So anyway, I had a job of shoveling a bit of earth over one or two little bombs and that, and I started to go down the road then, but just as I got down near to the bottom of the road, the plane came on, he dropped the stick directly down the road. No, I'm not done aware of that. Directly down the road, huge winds, and then just Peter. But anyway, I was down near the bottom by what they call the railway houses, a couple of new houses built by the railway workers. And I go down that, see, well, the pavement is only that height, you know, the curbs to go down, automatically go down, right? And next thing I know, there's sticks and stones and everything was blowing up. I was in the hall, just on the edge of the hall, and a poor man standing on the door opposite Dixon, Mr. Dixon, he was killed with the blast, I think it was. And somebody shouted at them, out to me, "Are you all right? Are you all right?" I said, "So I think it's the warden." And there was my father standing, I remember now, because the row of houses and a wall and the end wall, you know, and he was standing waiting, expecting me to come home. And yeah, and whether I didn't, I won't say what he said, but you know, anyway, they were all under the shelter. And that was my first experience of ducking and diving. Yeah.
So Swansea docks were bombed quite a lot, weren't they?
Oh, yes, well, everything, the Landarcy Oil Works, that was beyond fire for weeks, you know, because there was always a few, could always see the fire and the smoke, you know. But Swansea, of course, was a terrible mess. And that three-day blitz, like, you know, we had plenty of occasional bombs, you know. The first time you had them, you were ducking and past the bomb was a mile or half a mile away. But I mean, these sort of things, you get used to them. It's like listening to sounds of different arms and bullets and things like that. You do get to know the sounds. Like in the war, they used to say the spit of the spando and the bark of a brain. You know, these sort of things you get to capture too. You know, God.
So you did fire watching as well?
Oh, yes.
What exactly, where did you go?
Well, we've done it with works. It's automatic, you had to do it, like, see. It's whatever shift is working, or, well, as it happened, we'd work a shift, we worked all 20 hours with the road transport firm I worked for, because once the war started, a lot of it was taken over. Not taken over as a firm, but taken over the type of things you do. You had 10 lorries. Well, you had to, there was a lot of work then for altering what they were carrying to make them available for military duties. Eh? And like they started to build big asbestos backs behind the cabs and that, because they're not like the vehicles today, you know. And you started to have contracts carrying cans of petrol, four-gallon cans of square needle. Well, a lorry load of those, and it wasn't my job driving. I was a fitter, but I used to be on the road more, especially at the beginning of the war, with repairing and things like that, and the worth of it. I do every inch. And then they used to deliver the petrol to different sites, gun sites, like, say, down most of the side of the south, from the Cotswolds down to the southwest of England and that, you know. Cork Castle and all sorts of places, they'd out of the way, you know, country places, and they'd be dumping this petrol, and that was their job. It's the same when they started building Spitfires in boxes. They started delivering those and dropping them on a certain site, on the side of the road, and they'd be picked up by the RAF, like, see, at certain times. That was all part of the involvement, like, see. Mm.
So did you like fire watching?
No, nobody liked fire watching. You worked all day, and you had to work the next day. No big joy in fire watching.
So where did you do the watching?
Kept the tea, they only had mugs around like that.
Where did you do the watching? Were you up on top of a building? Or?
No, well, it was on duty. You see, I mean, if he did that, was the shed we was in, we would have all gone up the kingdom come. I mean, they dropped fire bombs there, they dropped bombs near. And it was your job was to mainly to protect, but you couldn't do much detecting of a bomb, you know, a bomb. That was it, wasn't it? You had stores of, you had your own stock of diesel petrol in the stores. You had everything could burnable, like, you know. It was only corrugated sheet shed, more likely, but all the platforms and sat with wood. I wonder what that is.
So what sort of training did you do? You said you did medical orderly or...
Oh, bandaging, okay. No, the usual, nothing there. Nothing special there.
So, I mean, what particular things?
Splints and, you know, fractures. And you had to pass exams, like when you passed, you started doing your St. John's, like, see? They got the grade 2 or something. But, yeah.
Did you ever do any first aid work?
Not really, not there. No, you know, not live. Well, I've been accident, of course I haven't, but it was later on, like, see, but you know, you didn't have to be qualified then. You had a bandage in your pocket, and you had a pad, and you knew what to do. You soon find out that's practice, don't you?
What did you think of the Home Guard? You know, was it...
What do you think? I've got a lie, like, Dad's Army, like, but... It's not, it in reality, it is a bit like, I suppose, but most of the people were in reserved occupation or they were, you know, they had other duties, and but they were doing their duty. Some was in the First World War, quite a lot of them was in the First World War, actually, and they were the ones that did it. But it's a comic, and yet it was training, and, you know, you were prepared to do what you wanted to do. I'd done something wrong with it, especially the LDB when it first started. I remember just after... The worst, not run wrong started, I'm sure. When the bells went on the early Sunday morning, I was living in rooms at the time. I thought, oh, well, they're going to Germans. We're waiting for the parachute to drop. And my brother-in-law was home. He was in the army then, funny enough. He was in the shrubs or something. He went away with his gun reporting to the nearest depot. And the next thing, though, the LDB it was then. It wasn't the Home Guard. Like, you know, they were called, they were on duty all night. They lost the day's work the next day. But the bells rang, but it's false alarm. But at the time, you imagined all sorts of things. You went to put the other place. And you weren't used to the bombing, Ed, not really, though. It was a bit early on, wasn't it?
So when you got your call-up papers, what did your mother think?
My mother, I was married, yeah.
You were married?
Yes, yeah. Well, my mother was used to it. I had 7 of us called up in the war.
What did your wife think?
Couldn't do much about it, could I? Nobody wants to go to war. I didn't want to go. No, in a way. I mean, the war was, he was working, you had a job, and he was quite satisfied with what he was doing. You're not used to it a lot. And, but,
Where did they tell you to go to join?
Northampton. I went to Talavera Barracks, KRRs at the time.
You went on the train, did you?
Huh?
You went on the train, did you?
Oh, yes. A few, and there's a few going along the way. Meet up with different people then, in another world, eh? Went in my own guard uniform, of course. It was a very terrible fit. Excuse the language.
Can you remember arriving at the barracks?
Yes, well, I could imagine.
What did you feel like?
Oh, God. Out of depth, really. It was terrible the first night. As soon as you got there, like, more or less, you lined up, and then you had a medical. You all stripped off, of course, in the room. You've seen the stuff you've never seen before. But you had the jabs, and you know, the old jabs, you had smallpox, you had a lot, like, you know, and then you didn't have nothing to do then, you had to collect your stuff, and then you put in different barracks, you allocated different places to go. You don't have nothing to do now, but they give you a load of kit, which had been painted green, the brass and something, like that. And some of it was white, blank, you know, the webbing, what they call it, and they ask you to, you've got nothing to do now till Monday morning. This was late Friday night, they go out Saturday, and you'll be on parade. But you must have all this, all the brasses cleaned up. And we couldn't sleep in the night because, I mean, these inoculations, they were, I mean, they weren't used to them. We had about 3 different ones, and they were tetanus and something else. I don't know, FAB, and I got the thing in. This is all in the book, part 1 there.
So
I still got it. I still got a copy of it. I got all the jabs you had, you know.
So So how many people were in your billet?
I don't know, many, but see the platoon, I don't. It's quite a big room it was, I think. There must have been about 30 of us, you know, at the time. I can't remember, I didn't count them, and tell the truth.
How did you...
Oh, we got some Cockneys, Scotch, you got all sorts of... I think there's two Welsh chaps there, you know, and... Of course, in these days, we was classified. If you came from Wales, it was Taffy was a Welshman. Taffy was the thief. Oh, yes. Not like today, it'd be racial. But when I joined, later on, when I joined a unit, I was posted to a unit. Well, they'd been in Dunkirk, most of them were the territorial crowd, you know, but they were all from the north, mostly. There were Scots there in Liverpool, Manchester, Lancashire, Yorkshire, they were all up that way. Well, I was the only Welsh chap there, of course. I was, they thought I come from the hills, you know, and the hills in the base. Till they find out about that he knows as much as they do, like, see. He could do all the things they can do. They could play football, they could play cricket, he could fight if he wanted to, he could box, he could do anything he wanted. And he was good at what he was doing, his job, like, see. That's the big thing. That's why I had the edge on a little.
So how did you all get on together? Did you make friends?
What, yes, you always make friends. The trouble is, you know, the army advises you not to get too close to people, what they do, but you were all mucking together, didn't you? I was always a good mixer. I was always used to playing sport. I always used to being in the crowd of boys. I was brought up that way, like, you know. And I had no trouble mixing in. I wasn't a youngster then, like, you know.
So what was the billet like? Was it a wooden hut?
Oh, no, it was the proper barracks, some stones. This was the Talavera barracks, belonged to the KRRs, a wonderful regiment. Honours galore, as they say. But at the time then, near there, they were building a new barracks, modern, up in Hardingstone, I think it was. It's not far from Northampton. In the district where old Rouse, the murderer, because we used to pass there on marching every day. I used to get this spot pointed out there. So that's where Rouse committed his murder when he burnt the car with a tramp or something. We have history along the way.
So you were issued with all your uniform and equipment. And what was the food like?
Well, sometimes before I went to the army, without a word of lie, I didn't have. I was never a big eater, you can see my meaning. But at times we used to always have good food because it's home. You know, most of it was home in our early days. If you had meat, it was local meat, like sausages. You could smell them a mile away and things like that. You know, a couple of coppers and we'd have done pieces making stew. The stuff was from the garden, but there was nothing like frozen. But when you got the army, because you had dehydrated food and they used to put in cabbage, potatoes, and all that. Different world. But I never had porridge before in my life. But I soon acquired a taste for porridge because I started to work up an appetite. It was on the go from the morning to the night, like, you know.
Did you have kit inspections?
Oh, yeah, kit. Oh, yes. Any time of the day or night did have those. Yeah. I wasn't too good at the beginning, you know, folding your blankets and all the rest of it, but some were very good. Same with their packs, they used to have boards in them, you know, oh God, they were good, some.
Did people get into trouble if they didn't have, everything?
Oh, yes, well, naturally, in that time, they would get fatigues, as they call it, see? But you get fatigues in anyway. You'd get four of you. Cookhouse, pour something else, you have to do what you're told, really. So it's easier to get along that way, anyway. I never found no trouble in doing what I was told, because I was used to discipline from school days and medical and home. No trouble to me to obey orders, whether I liked them or not.
What did you think of the NCOs that were...
Oh, well, that was Sergeant was a very, very nice chap. The Lance Corporal was a good kid, but the Corporal, oh, I'm afraid, he might be listening to this, but
no,
he's the worst person I've ever contacted, especially, what do you want used to meeting such people? He was a real order. I mean, we were only, we do it our best. Everybody would do their best. And, but he, I couldn't understand from Birmingham, he was. They put me right off the Midlands, the Birmingham. You couldn't believe it. I wouldn't believe it. I'd tell you straight.
What sort of things did he do?
Well, mostly in his, you know, and his attitude, like, do I do, treat you like, you know, because the sergeant was a, you know, a gentleman, not a gentleman, but he's good at his, what he was doing, and he good with the men, like, you know. And the Lance Corporal, I remember he volunteered for the airport, and I don't know if he survived, but he was good.
Do you remember the sergeant's name?
No, I try to think of it very often, tell the truth. Yeah. I think it come out of the blue sometimes, you know, a name comes to you, and I often, he was good. Never mind. The real regular, I know. Well, the other ones were regular, they were all regulars, I mean.
So, did you meet any of the officers?
Huh?
Did you meet any officers?
Oh, not much. I saluted once. But it wasn't the officer, it was the sergeant pages. So, he came along and had a few words with him, but he's quite nice, like, and he said, you don't shoot me. Look what he's saying. You know, as soon as you see something with a belt or something, and you think, oh, you better. Of course, this is new, wasn't it? Later on, when you got acclimatized to being in the forces, you got acclimatized to officers. And as a matter of fact, you know, especially in war years, and I know about peace, because I don't think the army wouldn't suit me in peacetime, I can tell that now. And you got to know. And you found out the officers were just, you know, they were just there and they were good and, well, most of them were.
Did you have to do guard duties at all?
Oh, yes, you? Guard duties, yes. Good. You all had to do guard duties. Yeah. Be standing and just mainly protected the officers' mess or something like that. But you might be in a way, and you know, it was a bit. Worrigal at the time. I was quite used to the dark and being out in the night sort of thing, but it's still a bit eerie then, like, you know, just standing in the woods, and there's probably four on, two up, or, you know, you do 2 hours on, and then you'd be up, and then back on, twice in the night, like, you know. Good thing about being on guard was where they used to give you, like, tins of carnation milk to put with your porridge or whatever. Well, food on guard, I kept a tin of that for breakfast in the morning. So that was a bonus there. But to us, anyway, early on, especially in the barracks when they're there, till you got in the unit, of course, it's different life altogether then.
Tom O'Brien, end of reel one. Tom O'Brien, reel two. What did you do in your spare time when you were at Nottingham?
Spare time from where?
Well, when you were at the barracks, did you have any time off?
Not really.
No,
we didn't. We didn't go. I was. Well, I didn't have money. Tell the truth, I was married, and you wouldn't get much when you called up so much a day, like. But I allowed most of mine home when you. I kind of went.